something is sudden. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This message is titled The Church Yesterday, Today, and Forever.
Hallelujah. I want to begin to discuss something with you on the church yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. It's important for us to understand the metamorphosis of the church in a sense. The changes that have taken place in the church from its early beginnings to our day and what is to follow. As you study the scriptures, see, a lot of times the people who read the Bible, they don't understand the message of the scripture. This book we call the Bible is the word of God. And it is a testimony from God on what he said, what men said, what devils said, what angels said, what Jesus said. You get it? Which means everything there is not to be lived by. It is to be understood as to who was talking and what was the context of his speech or writing. What did he mean? So you don't just say, that is in the Bible. Yes, something is in the Bible, but who said it? To whom was it said? And for what purpose? Hallelujah. And so, what do we glean from it? What's for us? How should we perceive it? And I'm looking at the early church, what we call the early church. The early church, where they just got started. It is important for us to understand that the church had to go through a period of growth. They didn't know everything at once. In the first 15 chapters of the book of Acts, the church did not believe that the non-Jews were supposed to be in Christ. It was in the 15th chapter that they had a debate, a serious one. They had had a problem with Peter for even going to the house of a Gentile in chapter 10. And he had to explain himself. The God asked him to do it. 5 chapters later, they hadn't changed their minds. So when you're studying the Bible, you have to understand what was the thinking of the people that it talks about at that time. Whether they were the apostles, for example, the teachings of Jesus. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some of those teachings are not for Christians to live by. You see it? Some of the things that he was teaching were for the Jewish man. And after you have received eternal life, you can't walk in that light. So you got to understand the past, the present, the future. For example, when he said to his disciples on one occasion, "How come you don't have any faith?" You cannot read that and think for yourself, maybe I don't have any faith. Because when you're born again, the Bible says that God has dealt to every man among you the measure of faith. No Christian without faith. It was possible for them in their day to have not had any faith. But no one who's born again has zero faith. And your faith cannot be smaller than what was required to be born again. Hallelujah. That's the amount of faith that's given to everybody to start with. Then you start growing your faith. You know, some of the teachings of Jesus about faith are so much misunderstood by a lot of people that most of those teachings were not for Christians. A lot of them don't understand it. He was talking to the Old Testament folks. Did you know Jesus lived in the Old Testament? He lived in the Old Testament, not in the New. The Old Testament. He was teaching them according to the covenant that God had with Abraham. In fact, you remember there was a time a lady who was bowed over double, who couldn't straighten up herself. And she came in when Jesus was teaching. And the Lord said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from her infirmity?" And he touched her and she straightened up. See? Hallelujah. So I want us to examine some thoughts here and see where is this thing going. You know, some people think, like, okay, the world is going through a change, and maybe sometime soon Christianity will be history. No, 1,000 times no. No. This thing will outlive every system. It's not about to fold up. It's getting greater by the day. Let's look at a few scriptures. We'll begin with understanding the early church, the way they thought, and why many Christians are still thinking that way today, and why there is of necessity a move in the Spirit to cause those changes that we must have before the King comes back. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me begin with the Old Testament. Haggai, book of Haggai, chapter 2, and we will be looking at verse number 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now notice it says, the glory of this latter house. Oh, what is he dealing with? Haggai was a contemporary of Ezra. Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. I want to read it again. It says, but many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, old men, all right, that had seen the first house, the first temple, the house of God, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. What was going on? They had been given permission to rebuild the temple. And you know, they had trouble. They disobeyed God and they were thrown out. And now the remnant had some help. Others came in, were allowed to come back and build the temple. A place for God. A place to worship God. And so the old men that knew the old temple remembered those days. As the foundation of the temple was being laid, they remembered. Same thing you find when the psalmist tells us by the rivers of Babel, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Then we hanged our harps upon the willows, the midst thereof. Why did they do that? In fact, they said, they that wasted us required of us a song. And we said, why should we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Because they remembered. Said, we remembered Zion. And that's what's happening to these men here at this time. They remembered the old temple. And they wept. They remembered what they had gone through. Somehow they're happy. Somehow they're saddened. Happy because it's happening again. Thank God we're going to get a temple now. But then the past. So you couldn't tell were they wishing for the past. Were they looking into the future? But I just wanted you to see what was going on. And Haggai was the prophet. So he tells us in his own writing what God said. Why all this weeping was going on. And the priest Ezra was writing what was happening. But Haggai the prophet also had a word from God. So we go back to Haggai chapter 2 verse 9. As they were laying the foundation, God spoke. First he told them to repent of their wrongs because a lot of them were doing their own stuff instead of doing the work of God. Instead of building the house of God. And once they were repentant and ready to do God's work, he gave them the word. He said, the glory of this ladder house, not the ladder house, but this ladder house, the glory of this ladder house shall be greater than the glory of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place, will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. If you liked that one, then that means you will like verse 8. So let's move back a little bit. Verse 8. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts.
We trust that you have been blessed listening to our dear man of God, Pastor Chris Oyakhilome, the president of Love World Incorporated, aka Christ Embassy. This message comes up on this dial, Diamond FM 87.5, every Sunday by 1:30 p.m. Always make it a date. God's word is God talking. Just listen, believe, and act in faith. Then your miracle is sure. This message is sponsored by Christ Embassy Southwest Zone 4, located at New Yidi Road. Beside Tuil Pharmaceutical Company, Iloran, Kwara State. Our Sunday service hold are 9:00 a.m. On Wednesday, we have two services. Lunch hour service are Chandra Nual noon. Evening session of 5:30 p.m. For sponsorship or inquiries,
kindly call 09021-336055.
Christ Embassy Church, giving your life a meaning.
This is the continuation of the message, the church yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Maybe if you like this one, that means you like verses 6 and 7. So let's go to 6 and read to 7. For thus said the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, it says in a short time, I will shake the heavens and the earth. And the sea and the dry land. He says, I'm going to shake everywhere. You notice the economies of the world are being shaken today? And people are wondering what's going on. They can't understand what's happening. How can human beings be managing their own money and suddenly they say that they don't understand what has happened to their money? How can whole nations be complaining? Who are those that came from outer space to steal the money? How can every country be complaining? Why can't they just sit down together and say, okay, let's just redistribute? It's not happening. Why? They are meeting everywhere. At the United Nations, they are Commonwealth, everywhere. They are meeting everywhere and confused. What is happening? They are not being attacked by some, you know. What's going on? Because God said, I will shake everywhere. And what will follow? Look at it. And I will shake all nations. Have you seen it? I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations. What's the desire of all nations? Silver and gold. Money. That's all they're looking for. And the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord. Did you notice? He didn't say at this time here. He's always said it. He's got a lot of that in the Bible. But notice he says, I will fill this house with glory. He didn't say, I will fill this house with my glory. All right? He has said that already different times. And as you keep reading the Bible, you find he will say it again. But there are places where he said, I will fill this house with glory. This glory he's talking about is abundance, magnificence, beauty, splendor, excellence. That's what he's talking about. This latter house. When you study in the scriptures, you will discover that every time he gave a prophetic word, he was very careful to let us know whether it had a dual implication or was it specific to a particular people or person. The prophet here uses the term the latter house. He's talking about this latter house. It is the house after the first, after the former, meaning that he has two things in mind. Because remember, after this one, after this temple, there had to be another temple. All right? Herod built another one. Okay? So he's dealing with something here, and he lets us know that there's a glory he's dealing with. The glory that Herod brought was not what God was referring to. When Herod built a magnificent temple, he built a magnificent temple in Jerusalem. So beautiful. But God didn't care about that one. In fact, when they came to show Jesus about it, when he came, his disciples said, look how beautiful this temple is that Herod's built for God. Jesus said, He said, not one stone will be left upon the other that will not be brought down. God didn't care about that structure. Jesus should have protected it, shouldn't he have? It's my father's house, it's so beautiful, I'll make sure nobody touches it. No, he said, not one stone will be left upon another that will not be brought down. By 70 AD, the Turks invaded Jerusalem. And Josephus says, Jerusalem was plowed up. They raised it to the ground. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at something now. You've seen that, but I'm showing you two pictures. The former and the latter. Okay? Now, go to the book of James. Chapter 5, and verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. Who's the husbandman? Huh? Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. My Father is the husbandman. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, a husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. Precious fruit of the earth. Precious. How precious are we? We are so precious to him. Every soul that we win to God is a precious fruit. He's waiting. Behold, a husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. That's why you hear about the early church and the latter church. Because the early rain, when that outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that initiated the church, the early church. Early rain is the rain that falls to prepare the ground for sowing. The latter rain is the one that falls to prepare it for harvest. Hallelujah. The husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Next, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So when the coming of the Lord draws nigh, which church will be in existence? The latter church. Are you following this? The latter church. And this massive outpouring has been on for some time. After the dark ages, the move of the Holy Ghost, a new move of the Spirit of God began. And it's been getting greater and greater, greater and greater. They thought the church was over in the dark ages. That's what's called the dark ages. I thought it was over. But it's got greater and greater, greater and greater as we approach the coming of the Lord. And that's why, you know, the Lord said through the prophet, to the prophet Daniel, that in the latter days, knowledge shall be increased. That's what he said. He said, knowledge shall be increased. Not knowledge shall increase, even though that's the result of it, but shall be increased. Which means this is going to be the doing of the Lord. He will cause more knowledge to be given. What's going on? What's going on? This is a greater church than Peter knew. This is a greater church than Paul knew. I'm telling you, this is a greater church because, see, it's the same church. We're just talking about there was a man-child that was a boy and grew to become a man. He's the same person. So the church was a man-child. That's the one that Peter knew. Then Paul had spiritual insight which the church couldn't catch on to until the second century. That's when they began to spread the letters of Paul because many of them didn't understand what he was talking about. In fact, Peter tells us in his second epistle, he said there are many things written in the epistles of Paul which are difficult for many to understand. He didn't say it was difficult for him, he said for many. They didn't catch it. But they began to spread it in the second century. Let me show you what the early church was like so you can get it. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Where are we going? Where is this thing going? Ah. Imagine this. If it's already so wonderful as it is, what's going to happen when the church catches on to more truth. Because you see, there are different kinds of lights. Lesser lights and greater lights. First Epistle of St. John, chapter 1. There's a portion that I love so much. I read it all the time. And it's always so wonderful, so amazing. But I want us to look at it and glean something from there. You ready? First Epistle of St. John, chapter number 1, beginning with verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me, and God raised them from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
We trust that you have been blessed listening to our dear man of God, Pastor Chris Oyakhilome, the president of Love World Incorporated, aka Christ Embassy. This message comes up on this dial, Diamond FM 87.5, every Sunday by 1:30 p.m. Always make it a date. God's word is God talking. Just listen, believe, and act in faith. Then your miracle is sure. This message is sponsored by Christ Embassy Southwest Zone 4, located at New Yidi Road, beside Tuil Pharmaceutical Company, Iloran, Kwara State. Our Sunday service hold are 9:00 a.m. On Wednesday, we have two services. Lunch hour service are Chandra Nual noon. Evening session of 5:30 p.m. For sponsorship or inquiries,
kindly call 09021-336055.
Christ Embassy Church, giving your life a meaning.